From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Earlier this month, a historic ruling was made in favor of 16 young activists who filed a lawsuit against the state of Montana for infringing on their constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment. Now, this case is the first of its kind in the United States, holding state officials and agencies responsible for the carbon footprint of future fossil fuel projects and how those emissions may impact the climate. Joining us now to talk more about this landmark case is Flathead Beacon reporter Micah Drew. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So, Micah, for those who may not be familiar with the case, can you just take us back to when this lawsuit was first filed?
Sure. This lawsuit, the case is called Held v. Montana, and it was filed back in March of 2020 initially, brought by 16 young plaintiffs from across Montana, all between the ages of 3 and 18 at the time. And like you said, they alleged that the state was violating their constitutional right to a clean and healthful environment. And so after 2.5 years of the lawsuit working its way through the court system, it finally made it to trial this summer.
So, Micah, as you mentioned, the plaintiffs were, at the time of the filing, between the ages of 3 and 18. Can you talk to us a little bit more about who they are and you know, their reasoning for bringing the case?
Sure. There were people from all across Montana as part of this case. Ricky Held was the oldest plaintiff, and it's her name that is attached to this lawsuit. And she came from a ranching family out on the eastern side of the state. So in her complaint, she talked about growing up on a ranch and seeing the effects of climate change really firsthand, from wildfires, having to evacuate her nearby towns, from floods from the nearby river taking over part of the ranch and flooding out some of their cattle fields. And so she spoke from a very personal level of seeing up front and in person, you know, what effects this changing climate had on her family and her family's lifestyle. From around the state, there were several tribal members who spoke mm-hmm. about the effects of climate change on some traditional dances, some traditional gatherings, some traditional storytelling, and how they were impacted there. Lots of people spoke about the effects of wildfire canceling either cross-country practices during the fall or soccer games in the fall. I mean, real impacts to these kids, and basically limiting factors for their young lives. And they use these stories to kind of show how the state might be implicated in affecting their livelihoods.
So this isn't the first time that we've seen a group sue over climate-related damages. But Micah, was this lawsuit unique because of everything you just described?
It kind of was. There's a law firm based out of Oregon called Our Children's Trust that has brought very similar lawsuits all across the country. They brought a federal lawsuit several years ago that's supposed to go to trial next year. And then they've even filed some form of legal action in all 50 states, including in Idaho about a decade ago that didn't make it very far. But the reason that Montana's was so special and did make it to trial and was this first of its kind lawsuit is because in our state, we have a constitution that was amended in 1972, pretty late for a state constitution to go through a major amendment. And during that process, they crafted really some of the most stringent environmental protections that are built into Montana's constitution. So it includes this inalienable right to a clean and healthful environment. And that's pretty unique. Only a handful of states have something similar. So Montana and the various law firms that were involved in this were able to craft this lawsuit specifically based on Montana's constitution. And they were able to tie greenhouse gas emissions in the state to a changing climate, to infringement on that fundamental right to a clean environment.
So it really seems, Micah, that the real sticking point here, as you just said, is that phrase within the state constitution in Montana, a quote, clean and healthful environment, that the people of Montana have that right. So when there was testimony going on during this trial, I mean, did you hear that terminology over and over again as people were testifying?
We did. We heard it starting on the very first day. One of the first witnesses called to testify by the plaintiffs was a woman named May Nan Ellingson, and she was actually a delegate to Montana's Constitutional Convention back in 1972. And she was responsible for getting that phrasing, the clean and healthful environment, in the Constitution several times in a couple different places. So from day one, we got to hear basically the intent of our constitutional framers and what they meant this clean and healthful environment phrasing to do, like what kind of protections they wanted it to build into the Constitution and how they expected the legislative and the executive branches to go about following that rule. And so then we just kind of heard it throughout the 2 weeks of the trial, whether from expert scientists or whether from the youths themselves, that this clean and healthful environment, it can be kind of a vague phrasing, but at the same time, clean and healthful are pretty strong when they're built into a constitution, and definitely strong enough to start building legal case around.
So let's talk about when the verdict came down. What was the reaction of the plaintiffs when they found out they had won, they had prevailed?
I mean, pretty exciting reactions across the board, I would say. I mean, everyone began releasing statements from all the law firms and environmental groups and citizen groups, and several of the plaintiffs. There was one that I spoke to briefly, a local plaintiff here in the Flathead Valley in Northwest Montana, who I spoke to for about 25 seconds because he was in the middle of a fishing trip and floated right out of cell service right after we spoke. So very happy, but also this has really taken over the last 3 years of a lot of these kids' lives. So I think they're just feeling a big sense of relief that they got a result they were hoping for. But at the same time, it's been very, very omnipresent for them. So I think there's a little extra sense of relief that maybe they can go on to a new phase now.
So what about the state then, their reaction, and are there plans to appeal the ruling? Are there plans to, to change the wording in the Constitution at this point?
There's always somebody saying that they plan to change the Constitution. There was actually an amendment drafted very briefly during our most recent legislative session to remove some of this language, but it didn't go anywhere, and legal experts expect that that would be very difficult. But when the order came out, the state attorney general's office did release a statement calling it an absurd ruling, and the trial was, a taxpayer-funded publicity stunt. And so they do plan on appealing to the Montana Supreme Court, and we're expecting that to be filed in the next 30 days.
So before I let you go, Michael, what kind of wider implications does this case have, not just for the state of Montana, but for other states moving forward?
Well, one thing that does need to be noted is that this is based on the Montana Constitution. So it does have a fairly narrow interpretation that applies to the state. But what a lot of legal experts are saying is that this is the first time that a judge has basically put out an order, put out a document that really lists out the climate science that ties greenhouse gas emissions to all the way to health effects on kids and on citizens of a state. And so even if a state like Idaho does not have this environmental protection in its constitution, people could look at this ruling and say, well, hey, all of this climate science is now officially in a judicial record. That is something that could maybe be relied on for a future case. More specifically, though, there are two other trials coming up next year. One is in Hawaii against their Department of Transportation, and Hawaii has kind of similar language in their state constitution. And then there's a case against the federal government called Juliana v. United States, and that's supposed to go to trial next year. And both of those cases are expected to look at the record from the Montana case and look at the science and look at the way the judge interpreted all of this testimony and the science. And they can definitely cite that, even if Montana's constitution kind of keeps the ruling within our state.
I have to say, it's been a fascinating case to follow. Appreciate your reporting and coming on the program.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the chance.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.